Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm and author of Investing Simplified, the book. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial show in America, with a financial advisor, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and is broadcast live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck with a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com. Or you can call him right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Or for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
Well, welcome to another beautiful day in Portland, Oregon. It's not too beautiful. It's a little overcast, but it's a great Saturday morning any way you cut it. It's the football season is kicking off. So how could we be unhappy? In studio with me is Kevin Stege, Baker Colson CPA, Original Duck.
Go Ducks. Good morning, Chuck.
And Carl Jepson with the Carl Jepson Law Firm, attorney at law, and also a Go Ducker.
Also a duck, yes.
Yeah, well, I'm the lone husky. Anyway, you know what? It's going to be a fun season because I think it's going to be a wide-open race in the Pac-12, and I think it's going to be exciting.
I got to say, I'm a little bit of a Beaver believer, too. They got some good things going on down there in Corvallis, too. So,
well, you know, one of my best friends is a Beaver, so I guess they can't be all bad.
Yeah.
But they look good. They just weren't able to pull it off.
Yep.
Yeah. I was rooting for them, though.
Yeah.
And I think the Pac-12 is going to be strong this year because Colorado just gave Colorado State a thrashing. So we'll see what happens in the rest of the league. But, you know, we can give our predictions right now. Are you guys ready for that?
Not really, but I already know where they fall. But
Who are you picking for the Pac-12?
Well, it's got to be the Ducks.
Okay, in the Northern Division. How about the Southern Division?
Let's go with UCLA.
And who's going to win the championship?
Ducks.
Quack, quack, quack.
That's right.
Carl?
Well, I'll go with the Ducks. The rest of it, I don't know.
Well, I'm going to go with the Shocker, and the Huskies are going to win the Northern Division. And they're going to play UCLA, coached by a former Husky, and they will lose.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay. I hate to say it, but that's probably what's going to happen. Anyway, that's my prediction. I would rather say they're going to win, but I think the other coaching staff is far superior.
Well, we'll have to do our NFL predictions next week because I need to get a lot of fodder ready for Carl and the Buffalo Bill comments and all that. I'm just not ready to really pull out some zingers on that yet.
So. I think we know Carl's going to have Buffalo.
You know, it's just a matter of time. I mean,
kind of like the Cubs?
Cubs, yeah. I mean, it's the Cubs and the Bills. Sure.
There we go.
Well, you know what's interesting? If you go back and look at Back to the Future, that movie Back to the Future, when it was supposed to take place in, what, 2016, and who won the World Series? The Cubs.
That's right.
Wouldn't that be amazing if they did?
There's one really good thing about the Cubs and the Bills, and that is you can never offend anyone. You know, I mean, you're a great fan, but you don't offend anybody. Who cares?
You get hugs. You get hugs all around the league,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody loves you.
Yeah. Well, hey, just for you podcast listeners out there, if you want to text us a message, you can at investingsimplifiedradio.com. And also, if you're traveling on the road during this Labor holiday season next week and you're on the road and you want to catch our show, you can catch it at www.investingsimplifiedradio.com. Or you can also go on any of the affiliated stations that we're with and go on their station and also hear the show simulcast live at the same time. So you can do it either way, whatever works easiest for you. We do want to mention that we are currently now on 5 local stations here, so you've got a great chance of hearing us if you turn on the radio Saturday morning, and hopefully we'll give you some good advice. I want to talk, get right into the markets and talk about the markets and what's going on, and particularly about the unemployment report. Unless you come from a different planet, when you hear this economic report and you hear the working jobs report, understand that over 60% of those jobs are in low-paying jobs. They're not the kind of jobs that Americans really, really want. And I got to tell you, I heard an interview the other day, and I thought, man, talk about insulting. Bill Clinton wants to take the 10,000 refugees, move them to Detroit, and have them get jobs on rebuilding Detroit. We've got millions of Americans out of work. We had one call the show last week. We got millions of Americans that can't find a job, and they want to bring refugees in and give them the frickin' jobs and build Detroit. You got to be kidding. Anyway, the only way America is going to grow, and the only way America is going to come out of this recession that we've been in for 15 plus years, is we need jobs. We need to build America again. We need to build it up. We need to build up our military. Because I'll tell you what, while we've been bickering and fighting and arguing all this other crap going on in this country, I guarantee you China and Russia have been building their militaries. And if you know, that worry about not worrying about Russia, well, right now, Russia is pushing everybody else in the world all around the place, and we're looking like a buffoon. So I'm telling you what, we better build our military, and we better build it strong, and we better build it fast.
Well, you know, Chuck, it's kind of interesting. We kind of have a schizophrenic economy right now where, you know, I completely agree with what you're saying. On the other hand, there's businesses that are all ready to hire, but they can't find workers. But the problem is what we're talking about is a skilled worker set, and that is not available. So here we've got, you know, people just ready to hire at good positions, but you know, apparently with the baby boomers getting out of the market, I don't know if has our education system been failing
Kevin,
us with trained
workers.
I've
heard two stories on that. One of them is that that's not the way it is, but the other thing is, if the government has all these unemployment offices all over the place and they aren't doing anything because nobody's getting jobs, why don't we convert them into job training centers and bring the skill level up of people who are unemployed and actually train them, actually teach them to do a job? What a novel idea. Let's teach them to get to a higher paying job.
And that's my exact point, is we're losing our skilled workers, and we've got people that can't fill the positions that we need filled, that are the important positions.
Yeah, and our government needs to have training programs to put people into those positions to get those jobs. And I don't understand. I mean, to me, it's pretty simple. If you have job openings and you don't have skilled workers to work them, then the government ought to have a training program to get these people off welfare and unemployment into those higher skilled paying jobs. That would just be a logical. I mean, to me, I'd rather see the government spend the money doing that than spend the money sending it somewhere else in the world to help other people when they could be helping the people right here. I heard an interesting comment that we're giving shelter to 10,000 refugees. We're giving them welfare, we're giving them medical care, and we got 50,000 veterans homeless on the street. That is insane. That is absolutely insane.
You know, I see a lot of value in private vocational training, apprenticeship-type programs, that type of a thing. That's how I got my start in the CPA business. Wasn't through formal public university, private university even, but from a bookkeeping course from a CPA who really taught me the nuts and bolts. And it was right here in Portland, in fact, in Beaverton. I don't think he has his bookkeeping school open anymore, but that was my start. And then I went from there. But actually getting the technical training is huge, and I think we fall off from that in our, you know, what we're putting out of the universities, and it's catching up with us.
Yeah, and if there's a big void there, then you would think some colleges or some of the colleges, at least one or two of the local community colleges in the local area, would jump on that and have a vocational school and make tons of money and get some government funding to get it going.
Yeah.
But you know what, Kevin? It's common sense.
Yeah. You know, I think that some of the best education out there is the 2-year degrees from the community colleges that are you know, have the, you know, I know Mount Hood Community College has a, you know, an automotive program and, you know, welding programs that are just, you know, very, very good and really meet the needs out there. So,
well, we need to do something because unemployment in this country is really about 9.5. And they can say all they want to and call it 4.9 or whatever numbers they want to play with it, but it's probably closer to 10 than it is 5.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get right into the markets, though. Let's talk about what's going on in the stock market and why you need to have a different strategy. And one of the things I do want to say is I had several people come in this past week that have been listening to us on the air. And whether you're looking for a first opinion or you're looking for a second opinion, we don't set a limit on the number of people we see a week. If we have time, you call. We will schedule an appointment for you. That's just simply how it works. We don't put a number. You know, that's called in the radio business, that's called kind of a hook because you let people think you only have a limited number of time. And then people think they got a rush to call because if they don't call you, they won't get in that spot. I tell you what, if you want a second opinion or a first opinion, you can pick up the phone and call our office, and we'll give it to you.
You know, one of the things like that is that, I'm more or less the same way. But you know, there's one of me and there's one of you, and so sometimes it's hard to schedule those things. But you know, if you're willing to wait to the time to get it in, we'll get it in. And if you like what you hear, you'll stay with us. If you don't, you won't.
That's right. Yeah, it's that simple, really. You know, and I mean, there's nothing magic about what any of us do. We all do what we do, and it's nothing magic. The only thing I will say is about the magic, and this is a little bit of magic. If you don't have a portfolio that is designed for the market that we've been in since 12/31/99, you got a problem. You got a problem with volatility. You got a problem with real growth. And what I'm talking about is the S&P 500 and the Dow Jones that used to be the standards, that were the long-term standards. And I would get into that, except my time is up, and I've got to get off the air here. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with the tax investigator. And if you want to know about the markets, you can pick up the phone and give us a call at 503-417-9595. That is a teaser, too, guys. So I just had to do it. Toll free 877-733-1011. That's 503-417-9595. We're going to come back with the tax investigator, and we're going to learn all about taxes because everybody loves taxes. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Colson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We're located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercolson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercolson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Colson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
Do you have a tax question? Here's your opportunity to ask Kevin Stege, CPA and shareholder of the Baker Colson CPA firm, that tax question that's been keeping you up at night. You can call Kevin 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the CPA with the tax answers, Kevin Stege.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified, and we welcome your calls and hope to hear from you on investing, legal, or tax question that might be keeping you up at night. 503-417-9595 or 877-733-1011. Well, today on the Tax Investigator, I thought I'd just bring a little bit of news from what's going to be happening next tax filing season, and this is going to affect everybody who files an individual tax return, and that is your refunds will be delayed. And so you might as well plan now to not have such a big refund when you file your tax return. Don't adjust your withholdings. If you typically get a large refund and you're counting on it and you need it by a certain time, you might as well adjust your withholdings and get that refund down. Calculate your estimates for those who have investment earnings and rental income and business income. Get those estimates more closer to where they need to be. And the reason for this delay is actually, in my opinion, a good thing and has needed to happen. We actually saw some of this for the 2016, the 2015 tax year, the 2016 filing season. Basically, it centers around earned income, credit, fraud. They have been paying out literally billions each year to people who are fraudulently claiming the earned income credit. They get a big refund and they're not entitled to it, and they run away with it. And also the additional child tax credit. Those are both kind of, I don't want to say welfare based, but this is refundable credits that go back to low income people. And typically, these are pretty significant credits that even in some cases make food stamps and that type of a thing look pretty small. These can be large refunds to the tune of $8,000-$10,000. So anybody that has earned income credit or the additional child tax credit, know that you won't get your refund before February 15th, no matter how soon you file. And another reason they're going to be delaying this, and we've seen a lot of this with our clients even this last year, is identity theft. They've been vetting out larger refunds or decedents, a decedent getting a refund. They're taking their time, and this is good. They need to not hand out money, take an extra couple weeks, make sure it's legitimate. We typically have been getting a letter from the IRS or Oregon, and they are saying, hey, we just want to make sure that you're legitimate. Please send us proof of, address and death certificate or something along those lines.
You mean they're not just issuing out those $2 million debit cards anymore?
Like Oregon did, exactly. So anyway, Oregon Department of Revenue has a great website. You can log on to find out where you actually create an account and you can find out where your refund is. And then, of course, the IRS has Where's My Refund, and that's a good place to start.
And Kevin, we got a caller. Inverto, are you there on the line? Hello? Are you there?
I hear a caller.
I hear. Are you there?
Yeah.
Hi, Inverto. You got a question about bank stocks?
Right. I'm wondering if the Federal Reserve continues to push forward and not actually raise interest rates, can the bank stocks still do well? That's the first question. And the second one is, what are the prospects for dividend increases in this kind of a market environment?
Well, are we just discussing bank stock dividends?
Well,
or all dividends?
Well, bank stock primarily.
Okay, here's the problem as I see it. Since 2008, we have been pumping money into the banking system to hold the banks up, while the big banks who bought and paid for Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, they bought and paid for the politicians, not just them, Republicans too. They bought and paid for, and they're being helped out. And the average little guy is sucking wind. And I just don't see that changing unless we have a big change in this country. But if this continues to happen, everybody knows when you have a balloon and you pump air into it and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and boom, it pops. And guess what? That's our economy. That's what we're doing to this thing. You can't just keep feeding money into an economy and expecting it's going to take off. You have to create something in the economy to get it moving. And I tell you, I have, it drives me nuts when I hear people say, Oh, well, negative interest rates, that'll never happen in America. Hey, folks, it's going to happen in America. They're already talking about it. When the Fed starts talking about what to do with negative interest rates, believe me, it's going to probably happen. I personally, right now, if I had bank stocks, I'd be shorting them. Because I think they're going to be the ones that are going to crash again, just like what happened in 08 when this market crashes. I think bank stocks are going to crash. I think they're in deep trouble. They've been creaming the profits off of not actually making any money, just getting free government money. I mean, you get free money. Free money is a pretty good deal. So they're basically getting money for free, and the government's buying it back at 2%. That's a pretty good deal. As long as they can get that, I mean, you'd do that all day long, wouldn't you? If somebody said, you know, here, I'll give you all the money you want, and if you don't have a good investment, just give it back to me, and I'll give you 2% for what you borrowed from me.
But isn't that happening, in a sense, in the total economy? Because by the government behaving the way it is, it's still dragging the market along.
Now, you know, here's the problem. The real earnings of the companies, when you listen to these companies and they talk about earnings, and it drives me crazy when I hear this about the earnings. A lot of companies have a lot of earnings because they laid a lot of people off. They sent a lot of people home. They're not paying salaries for them. They're not building new buildings. They're not growing. They're not expanding. They've actually retracted, and they're just taking the revenues off their business, and they're not hiring any more people. Now, when I look at a company, I look at the growth of the company and how is the company growing. You know, if I see a company is cutting departments and they're cutting down on what they're growing, that's not a good sign to me. Or they're laying off 10,000 people. That's not a good sign to me. That tells me there's a problem. Why would a company lay off 10,000 to 20,000 people? It's not because they're making money. It's because they're not making money. So I think you got to look at what's happened. We have less people working percentage-wise now in America than we've had since the 1970s. That is a problem.
Don't you think that the economy will keep muddling along until it corrects a lot of these problems and gets renewed vigor?
No, I think it'll smack and go down. I mean, I'm giving you my honest opinion. No, I don't think you can't continue to make that balloon get bigger and bigger and bigger. And how big can we get? I listened to Mr. Perez, who I can't remember what his title is, but it's about the economy and the jobs. And I heard him say a statement on when he was talking about the growth of the company, and he actually made a statement that we are the strongest company in the strongest country in the world, and we're much better off than any other place, and he's exactly right. But the problem is, you guys, the government's turning us into Europe, and we don't want to be Europe. We're 105% of debt to GDP. The rest of the world is about 250% or higher debt to GDP. Do we really want to brag that we're so good? I mean, I don't think so. I think what we want to say is we could get a lot better than what we're doing. So, listen, Umberto, I appreciate your call. We've got other callers, and we got to get back. So, thank you very much for your call. Appreciate it. Kevin, you were talking about the taxes, and I want you to get back to your comment there.
Absolutely. So, that was regarding the delay of 2017 tax refunds. So we put a fork in that one. And what we've got next is, and this is important, I wanted to get this out here before we have to go to our next break, is when somebody is transferring money from, a 401k to an IRA or an IRA to an IRA, typically a trustee-to-trustee transfer is done. That saves trouble. It's very easy to do. There's reasons, though, that people sometimes take the money personally from their IRA, and within 60 days, they roll it back into their IRA or another qualified plan. The IRS, number one, has given – it used to be a hard and fast rule that if you miss that 60-day period to put that money back in, didn't matter for what reason, 61 days – that money became completely taxable, and if you're under 59 and a half, subject to a 10% penalty. Well, they have decided to lax off that just a little bit, where if there's a reasonable cause, and they're calling it a written self-certification that you turn in with your tax return of why you missed that window, and you have an acceptable circumstance, and they've given some examples, such as your house burned down, a family member died, or became seriously ill, a postal error. It got your instructions to the to have this money deposited was lost in the mail. What have you?
Abducted by aliens.
That's area. Yeah.
That might work.
That works. 67 yeah.
That,
or
I
whatever
think that's
it is.
Called Area 51.
51. There yeah. it is. Yes. Yeah.
So, that's code 51.
code 51. Yeah.
So that gives you a little bit of an out. And so that's kind of good to know. I did want to bring up one point where it's an interesting planning opportunity where some people view your IRA as a source of short-term money to, for example, complete a loan transaction on a home or something along those lines, where basically you take your money out of your IRA, you use that money to affect your transaction, whatever it may be. A lot of times you need the cash, and you're anticipating getting, say, a refinance done within that 60-day period to get your money back to put it back in your IRA. To me, it works, but that keeps me up at night, especially if that tax bill hits at who knows where you're at your tax bracket plus a 10% penalty. That's really aggressive, and I've heard this strategy thrown around, and it's good to know the strategies there. Maybe it's your last ditch effort to make something work and really save a hardship.
Well, let me throw a wrench into this to you too, Kevin. Isn't there a new regulation that took effect last year too that you can only do one rollover a year?
There is, so you got to factor that in.
You got to be careful, because if you do more than one of these, you are going to get a massive tax hit.
That's exactly right. Trustee to trustee, you can do more than that.
Right,
but taking the money personally and then repaying it within 60 days.
Yeah, well, to do the rollover, like you're talking about with the 60 days and taking the money, mm-hmm. it's not going trustee to trustee.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's different.
And, yeah,
two different
yeah.
ways
so
to do this.
So people got to really be careful, because we've had people call us like on the 55th day or 56th day and say, oh my God, I did this rollover. What do I do?
Right. And you're scrambling for money and you got to get it back in.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. So that's what I have today on the Tax Investigator.
So if you're in doubt and you're going to do something like that, I would highly suggest you pick up the phone and you either call Kevin or another tax professional, because anytime you mess with taxes, you can get bit. Would you agree?
True.
So talk to a professional. Speaking about professional, we're going to take a quick break and come back with Carl's comment. You're listening to Investing Simplified.
Hi, I'm Carl Jepson, estate planning attorney and co-host of the radio program Investing Simplified. I recently left the Warren Allen Law Firm to open my own office. Professional and personable service have always been the hallmarks of my practice. I believe that this move will allow me to spend more time with my clients. For more than 37 years, it has been my privilege to assist clients with practical estate planning with wills, trusts, powers of attorney, advance directives, and other documents, so that they may have peace of mind knowing that their affairs are in order. When probate becomes necessary, emotions of family members may become fragile. Having an experienced attorney that can empathize with what the client is going through makes the process much easier. My new office is conveniently located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 101, just across from Mall 205, and my phone number is 971-229-0585. That's 971-229-0585.
Got a legal question? Coming up is Carl Jepson, estate planning attorney, with Carl's comments. You can call Carl now at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Carl Jepson.
All right, send lawyers, guns, and money.
Well, welcome back to Investing Simplified, and it's time to, I'm going to go back to what we were talking about last week, because I didn't get quite finished. You know, we were talking about the situation where you may be a personal representative and you have to find the assets of the decedent. And so we're going to talk, and we talked about some things that you might not expect to look for. Now we're going to talk about places you might not expect to look for to find those assets. And I'm going to shorten it up just a little bit. But the first one, I think, is if you happen to be rummaging through the decedent's stuff, which sometimes we have to do, and you find a safe deposit box key or something that looks like a safe deposit box key, and you don't think they have one, but don't take that to the bank. I mean, exactly. What I mean is because some years ago, I was a personal representative myself, which I hated, actually. But anyway, I found this key, and it looked like a safe deposit box key. I also knew where the lady banked. I said, well, that's easy enough. So I trundled on down with my letters testamentary showing that I was the personal representative in this bank key. And I went in, and I talked to the manager. I said, I want to go to this box. Guy says, oh, I'm sorry, that's not our key. We don't have that. And I said, well, this was my client's, this was her, we don't know who you're talking about. I said, okay, that's fine. So, you know, probate goes on. About 2 months later, you know what I got in the mail? A bill for the safe deposit box at that bank for the decedent. You know, it kind of ticked me off. So I went down to the bank again. I said, hey, look at this. Here's my bill. Here's my key. I want to see what's in there. And the guy says, oh, yeah, you're right. I guess we did have that lady. $90,000 in bonds. $90,000. So if you find a key, find out where it goes. So that's number one. And so we have a caller online.
Yeah, we had a caller with a tax question, Kevin. Ooh. This is right up your bellywick. So are you there, Tom?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, and your question is?
Okay, I sold the house last year that I had rented for. I bought it in 94. It was rented for the last 5 years. Except for the 2-3 months we lived in it. Okay, we live in another house since then. We bought another house. Now, what happens when I file my taxes?
That is a very good question, and you need help.
It's unfortunate that I can't do this myself.
It is.
That's the way they set up the tax code.
It is true. It's become ridiculous that anything other than a W-2 and some interest income and some itemized, you're pretty well needing some help on stuff. And this is one where you're going to, because there's going to be depreciation recapture. There is going to be a portion that is probably taxed of capital gain. It sounds like you've had it long enough. There's capital gain. But there's a chance that there's some gain that can be excluded. And I don't want to just be open-ended on this, but there's a lot to cover to get to that point. You'll definitely want a good tax preparer for this year for you and the year that you sold it. And I think they can do you a solid, and get you on the straight and narrow and let you, you can do your taxes the following year. But this will be a good year. They'll really carry their own weight.
How does the depreciation work now? Because the last 5 years, the way I have the income I have is not taxable. So I haven't paid any taxes in the last 5 years.
Okay. Well, depreciation is going to be what they call recaptured. And that's where it depends how much gain. I'm assuming you've got a fair amount of gain. So probably most of your depreciation is going to just get taxed as ordinary income. And it's treated as just like interest is. You don't get favorable capital gain rates. After all of that's been recaptured, any additional gain is taxed at capital gains. But hopefully there's a portion of it. Depending on your circumstances and your timing of how long you lived in it after, I believe it's 2008. There's a number of rules to look at, but that's in general how it's going to work.
Okay, is the fact that I haven't owed any taxes in the last 5 years going to, is that going to have any effect on
it
taxes?
It shouldn't. Even if you didn't have to file, that shouldn't be a problem.
No, I filed, but I didn't owe any.
Okay. It shouldn't have an effect on the year that you sell your house.
Wouldn't wouldn't they add the depreciation over the last 5 years that it was rented?
Say that again?
Wouldn't they take the depreciation over the last 5 years that it was rented, right?
Correct. All the depreciation you've taken since the beginning that you started renting this, that's going to be recaptured all at once in the year that you sold it.
They're not 5 years that I haven't owed taxes and see how much more I would have owed over those 5 years?
Nope. Even if there wasn't a tax benefit for taking the depreciation, you still have to have calculated that depreciation and recapture what that amount would be. It's called depreciation allowed or allowable. And so if it was allowable, even if you had no tax benefit, you still have to recapture it.
Okay, I've been doing my taxes with TurboTax. Are they going to be able to do it?
TurboTax can do it, but there's going to be operator error. The software can do it, but if you don't tell it exactly how to do it, you may be paying more than you need to.
You know, so. Tom, this is one of those things where it's pound wise and penny foolish. I would highly recommend you get a professional tax person to help you with this, because otherwise you're going to cost yourself more money than it's worth.
Thank you.
You bet. Thanks.
Bye.
Good. Good. I think, you know, that's really a good question, I thought. But
those are difficult issues.
Yeah, they are. Like you said, the operator error. You know, a lot of the software that's around is really good, but it doesn't always just respond to the you know computer. Tell me what I want to know. You know, it doesn't quite work that way. So
you know, when the IRS has a technical thing set up, it just is not worth your time to be less expensive about it. You got to hire a professional and get somebody that knows what they're doing. Otherwise, you will have more problems than you ever wanted, and it'll cost you a lot more money. It's kind of like, Carl, you and I talk to people about doing their wills and trusts. People say, well, I do it myself. I say, you do it yourself. Who's going to guarantee that this is going to work when the time comes you need to have it? You know, I would much rather, and I tell people all the time, don't be foolish with your own estate, and don't be foolish with your tax bill, because you will never win if you fight those guys by yourself. You just won't win.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is I always like to tell people that if you want to fix your transmission in your car, you can go down and get a really good book, and you can get all sorts of diagrams and how-tos and YouTube videos. And I'm saying, you know, you can do the same thing with, you know, putting your trust together. But you know what? The problem is that if you screw it up, you're not going to know, because you're going to be gone, and it's going to be your heirs that are going to pay for it.
Well, I'm the kind of guy that goes and takes my transmission and get that fixed too.
Absolutely. That's what I mean. That's, yeah. You know, exactly. That's the whole thing. So anyway, after you've found the safe deposit box key, the next thing I'd look for are stacks of little envelopes with rubber bands around them. You know, there's usually like about 5,000 of them somewhere in the attic. You never know what's in those.
Small,
you know,
unmarked bills.
Yeah, no, usually, you know, they're usually like bank statements and stuff like that. But, and they're like monthly. But every now and then you find some treasure in there. Another place that's interesting to look up, and this is probably the next common one, is stuff rolled up in the socks. Go through the sock drawer, and you'll be surprised. I know this sounds funny, but same thing. You might find cash in there. I found tons of cash in the same lady with the $90,000 worth of bonds. She had socks full of money. It was really interesting. I felt really weird picking up the socks and looking in there, but you know. Anyway,
have you ever found a treasure map?
No, not quite. But you know, for those of us who have, you know, a little bit of fear factor, and you should. And this is for my friend Vinny, by the way. The last place you want to look, okay, the crawl space. Now, I'm telling you, and here's why. Because the crawl space sometimes has bugs in it. And the crawl space, have you ever seen the movie Mimic? Have you ever seen that where it has the super, super, it's like 12 feet tall cockroach that swallows people up?
Yeah,
you open up the crawl space and slurp, that's it.
I missed
so
that one.
Be careful about the crawl space, but sometimes people keep weird stuff in there, like books and like, you know, other things, you know.
I thought he was going to say that's where all the bodies are buried.
And if there's and if you happen to see a big X drawn on the floor in the crawl space, that's the spot. So there you go. Carlos' comments.
Very good.
Well, with that, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with the Knowledge Rush. You're listening to Investing Simplified. If you've got a question, pick up the phone, give us a call, 503-417-9595. Toll free, 877-733-1011. We'll be right back with the Knowledge Rush.
Investing Simplified.
Hi, everybody. Chuck Price, the financial doctor here. If you're between ages 58 and 68, choosing Social Security benefits at the right time is one of the biggest financial decisions you'll ever make. You get one chance to get it right. After 12 months, there are no do-overs. 74% of Americans receive reduced benefits. Get your free report on 44 Social Security secrets at pfgwm.com. Social Security is often one of the largest and most mismanaged assets in your retirement income plan. Claiming benefits sounds easy. So is leaving up to $250,000 of your money with the government, or reducing your benefits up to 76% over your life expectancy. For this vital information, go online to pfgwm.com. Or call 503-253-3000.
We do Investing Simplified.
Investments, tax questions, or legal concerns? Get them all answered now for free. Call Chuck, Kevin, or Carl for your answers. Call 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the Knowledge Trust.
Well, welcome back to Investing Simplified. And I'm going to come back a little bit to my stock quote here that I didn't get a chance to give, because I want to make a real point here about there's a lot of radio shows on here talking about investing, and there's going to be a lot of changes when the DOL law kicks in on how guys are selling. And these guys who put you 100% of your investments in annuities are going to have a rude awakening when this thing comes all fleshing out. And also, the other thing is mutual funds. And I've talked about this a lot on the show. Mutual funds are going to go the way of the dodo bird. They're going to go away. And if you don't believe me, they're cutting down the fees that the brokers get. They're going to all your stock brokers and all your financial advisors are all going to go to fee-based. Now, we did about 10 years ago, but they're all going to go that way. They're not going to have a choice. The SEC's coming after trails on mutual funds, or coming after fees on mutual funds. Some of those are loaded as high as 5 to 5.5%. The world is changing, folks. And if you know, I've been saying on our show since we've been on the air that the markets have changed, times have changed. And if you don't have an advisor that tells you you need to have some money in some guaranteed investments, but you also need to have some money that's in the market based on what's going on today, not what went on the 80 years before the turn of the century. Because I'm telling you what, it is not the same. We are in a world economy, whether we want to be or don't want to be, we are there. That's like, you know, oh, my camera. Okay, I guess we got a caller on the line here. I can't see that, Carl. Can you see what that?
Brad.
Brad, okay.
Home?
Okay, Brad, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, and you got a question?
I do, thank you. I'm looking at refinancing my home. Currently, I'm in a mortgage that goes up to 4.75 in January, and then it's fixed there for the remainder of the loan. But under the available mortgages now, I can get a new loan at 2.75 for 15 years, but they want almost $6,000 in closing costs. And I'm wondering if I'm better off staying with what I've got and putting my money elsewhere.
How much is
get this house paid up?
How much is the loan
right now? It's $94,000. I owe $89,000 left on the mortgage, and to get the closing costs and it's going to be a $94,000 loan.
Okay, so
what I've done is I paid extra each month on the current loan, and in December I dropped $10,000 on the principal, and then I'm making monthly payments. So I have a little extra money to play with, and I'm wondering if I'm just better off staying with what I've got, because I've turned that 30-year loan into a 14-year loan already by paying extra on the principal.
Sure, sure. Well, from the sounds of it, it sounds like without running the numbers, you know, your $6,000 is, you know, that's over 6% you're paying right there. Cash flow, sounds like you're doing okay cash flow-wise. I don't think it's totally worth it to go through it at this time and do the refi. But, you know, there's other factors. I mean, what's your guys' feel on that?
Well, how long a time is going to be before you pay off the loan?
Right now, with the current loan I have, it would be 14 years.
Okay, but you know, you can simply go on, get a mortgage calculator right on web free, and you can calculate doing a 10-year and just increase the payments yourself and do a 10-year.
Okay,
and
well,
how much is the closing cost and the refinance cost?
$6,000.
Well, for $6,000, that's almost that's almost 7.5%. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
You know, the other reason for that is a more practical one, and that's the if you've ever gone through a change in your mortgage company in the middle of your mortgage, well, that's kind of what you're talking about. You're going to a new mortgage company to refinance this thing, I presume. And it can be a nightmare, because then they in turn turn it over to a new mortgage servicing company. And they in turn have a different computer system, and they in turn don't know you. And if your thing has been working really smoothly and you haven't had a bunch of screw-ups with the payments and stuff like that, the $6,000 is not anywhere near the amount that you can possibly lose just in sleep if you get screwed up by a new company.
That $6,000 would be nice just to put to the principal and
absolutely.
Get ahead of the game.
That's what I would do. Absolutely, yeah. That's a lot of money to give the bank just for refinancing.
Now, if it were a $2,000 fee, it may be worth it. Although,
yeah, but you know what interest rate are you paying now?
4.75.
And what are they going to give you?
2.75. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're saving $2,000 a year, roughly. So 3 years, you got 4 years come back. I wouldn't pay it. That's too high. I'd negotiate with them. Yeah.
I've tried. This is my own bank that I've been with for 40 years, and they want a $500 application fee, non-refundable, just to apply for a loan with them. I've been with them for 40 years, never missed a bank payment. I've got a credit rating of 840.
Yeah.
And they're charging me $500 just to apply for the loan, and that's no guarantee they'll give it to me because I'm self-employed.
Hey, Brad, I would shop it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd look around. Okay. There's all kinds of things going on right now. There's banks that are offering all kinds of deals on loans right now, very low fee. So I'd shop it and give them some competition. Listen, thank you very much, Brad. Good call. You bet. Thanks. Thanks for the call. We got another caller on the line. We got Henry on money rolled up in stocks. Henry, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you. My question is, it's been advised with the probability that there might be a natural disaster here in the next few years or tomorrow, we don't know when, or a stock market disaster, a financial disaster, that it might be a good idea to keep $10,000 in cash in your house in different denominations, mostly smaller bills, so if you wanted to get something to eat, you wouldn't give them a $50 bill. And they said, we don't have change for that.
Well, Henry, here's my feeling on that, and I tell my clients this all the time. I think it's very important to have $10,000 to $20,000 of cash available to you in a safe place, usually protected by a 9mm or a 40 caliber pistol or a sawed-off shotgun. But I would have it in a safe place in my house, in a safe. I wouldn't tell anybody about it. I wouldn't let anybody know where it is. And I'd have it locked up. I wouldn't tell any relative. I wouldn't tell anybody where you have it, because if you do, it probably won't be there when the going gets tough. But I think common sense in what's going on in the world and what's happened with terrorism, it is very conceivable that at some point in time, a terrorist could knock out part of our electrical grid system. We could be without power for a month or a couple weeks to a month. And yeah, you're going to need some form of currency to get around. You're not going to have your phone. You're not going to have your cell phone. You're not going to have some cars aren't going to run because they're all digital. Electric cars are going to be in deep soup. But you know what? It's just smart. If you lived in Tornado Alley, you would have you if you didn't have supplies for a week or a couple months, you'd be not planning. And unfortunately, we're all in Tornado Alley now. So I think just common sense says, you know, you ought to have a couple of months. Some of us have a year of food buildup and water and safety to make sure, because it's just common sense. So I agree with you, Henry. I think that's what people need to do. I got to get another call here. We got another caller, Al. Thanks, Henry. Al has got a question, legal question for Carl.
Yes, just a question. If all your income is Social Security and, say, pension, you don't have any assets, can creditors come after your Social Security and pension, say, for a medical bill or any other thing that you owe?
Generally not. Generally, it's exempt from execution by a creditor, meaning if they got a judgment. What they can do is, if it goes into your bank account and they know where your bank account is, they can garnish against your bank account. Once it goes into your bank account, it's fair game. But if it goes, and of course it always does, because Social Security makes you do that. So, which might mean that if you have a creditor and they're coming after you and they know where you bank because you've been writing them checks, then you might have a problem there. But as a general rule, the they can't be garnished. They can't go to the Social Security Administration to say, pay me first. They can't do that.
So, does that apply to pensions, too, or just Social Security?
It does most pensions. I'm not going to say all of them, but yes, most pensions and things are also, here in Oregon, are execution-free. But they're not. There may be some exceptions, like, for example, things like child support are not exempt and that sort of thing. So,
and how about your house?
The house that you own? Well, your house is fair game up to a point. If you own the house and you owe money on it, then you have to kind of make a calculation. There's what's called a homestead exemption. There's an amount that, say, for, and I'm trying to remember what the number is, but it's something like $25,000 to $40,000. And what it does is it says that if the creditor wants to get your house, and then they have to basically give you $40,000 before they can take it. That makes sense.
It's worth $400,000. Okay, thanks a lot.
Oh, well, well, if you got that much equity in it, then you're vulnerable, I would say. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but the only exception for that is Medicare.
Yeah.
What's that?
I said, but the only thing you're not subject to is on the home. You got protection from Medicare, but that's about the only thing.
Yeah.
I think they could come after that asset of the house.
Yeah. It's a little harder to get to, but they can. Yeah, if you've got that much equity, it's vulnerable.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one of the things a lot of people think. They can have a big house all paid for and they don't have to pay their bills, but you still do. Just a quick note here. If you want to have an evaluation, give my office a call. We'll do a free evaluation of your portfolio. We call it a financial checkup with a financial doctor. I'll go over your portfolio. I'll give you an analysis of it. I'll give you recommendations. You can take it home, sleep on it. If you decide to do something, you call us back. If you don't, that's fine, too. No obligation, no pressure. We don't have to pressure people. So if you want to do that, just give us a call. Kevin, how somebody get a hold of you?
We are at baker-colson.com, 503-666-5569, and we're out the east side of Division at 2414 Northeast Division.
And you also have a newsletter people can sign up for?
We certainly do, on our website.
Okay, Carl?
carljepsonlaw.com and 971-229-0585.
And I'm at pfgwm.com, located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103 in Portland, Oregon. On the web at pfgwm.com. Look for new things coming on our website. We're going to be adding some additional things, and you can sign up there for our weekly newsletter. And also for Harry Dent's Economy and Markets free newsletter, and you really ought to get that. We'll be back next Saturday to Investing Simplified. Have a great Labor Day weekend and drive safe and be safe out there. We want you back next week.
You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000, or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. How often do you have a checkup? Annually? Only when you're not feeling your best? Or are you one who waits until there is an emergency condition? High blood pressure, rapid pulse, or sleepless nights could be the result of your investment portfolio or no estate plan. But there is a specialist ready to offer you a checkup on your financial health.
Hey, Gene, Dr. Price. Hey, Gene, Dr. Price.
Chuck Price, the financial doctor and author of Investing Simplified, is offering you a free financial checkup. Whether you're asking for a second opinion, a complete financial physical, or investment stress test, Chuck Price, the financial doctor, can help diagnose your money ailments and prescribe a prudent path towards healthy investments and peace of mind. Call 503-253-3000 to schedule your financial checkup or on the web at pfgwm.com. That's pfgwm.com. You'll feel better.